the one, and the two, and the three.
Ho, 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 we are Santa's elves. We are Santa's elves, filling Santa's
You know, one of the absolute supreme joys of the holidays are watching the Christmas specials that I think you're supposed to stop watching when you're 8 or maybe 9.
No way. I'm never going to stop watching them.
I watched Rudolph the other night. I've seen most of it twice this year. CBS ran it twice this year. I don't know what it is about it. I never miss it. I just love it.
And it never changes. I know, you know, spoiler alert, I know what's going to happen, yeah. But yet I still love it.
Yep. They should throw in alternate endings every once in a while to see if we're paying attention. Rick Goldschmidt joins us right now. He's an archivist for the Rankin Bass Company. Those are the people who have put out all those fantastic specials. Rick has written a couple of books, The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass, a portfolio, and then also Mad Monster Party, which came along just a few short years ago. Hello, Rick. How are things?
Good. How are you?
Great to talk to you. Rick, I know you've seen these same specials Wendy and I are talking about dozens and dozens of times, but somehow we can't stop watching them.
Yeah, I've done a lot of interviews this year where they want to know the 10 things you didn't know about Rudolph, and it's been crazy with the 50th anniversary. It's just a lot of attention is brought to it, and Arthur Rankin passed away this year in January, so I did a new book about him, the Arthur Rankin scrapbook, with a lot of new information that I uncovered. So it's been a crazy year.
I think, Rick, one of the things that always throws people a little bit, but it makes perfect sense, the voice of Rudolph, not a guy.
Right. Billy Mae Richards, who was a sweetheart and could still do the voice all the way up to her passing a few years ago. And she did a fantastic job of bringing that character to life like it never was before.
Isn't that typical, though, that young girls do, or that women do the voice of young males,
yeah.
Whether it be
Bart Simpson,
yes, or yeah. Rudolph, who's a boy.
Yeah.
Have we checked?
Yeah.
Is he a boy?
He's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's cute.
He's cute.
As they say in the special.
Yeah, and Billy Mae Richards was a very experienced radio actress who came out of radio, which lasted longer in Canada, where they got all the voice actors for the Rudolph special, except for Burl Ives.
Because they wanted star power. Because kids love, here's the one thing about kids, Wendy, they love Burl Ives.
Who doesn't love Burl Ives? Yep. But that's why we know who Burl Ives is, pretty much.
Yeah, he told me that towards the end of his life, when he would go on planes, stewardesses would come up to him and say, "Hey, you're Sam the Snowman." You know, that's the only thing they recognized him from. And he won an Academy Award, had so many records and so many accomplishments, but Rudolph was the thing he's remembered
for.
So
even though, because he played Big Daddy on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and he was magnificent, even though he did that, it was Sam the Snowman that everyone knew him and
Mailman,
loved him for.
Right? Yeah. There's Snowman.
Snowman. Picked the best actors and actresses to do the voices and the best talent to put the special together. That's why it's been on for 50 plus years. Maury Laws and Jack Davis and Paul Coker Jr., all these great artists that he assembled just made these things last.
And some of those artists that you just mentioned, they were affiliated with Mad Magazine, correct?
Right, and the reason I got into doing the Rankin Bass books and becoming the historian is Jack Davis and Paul Coker out of the early pages of Mad Magazine. I loved their art, and they designed all of the Rankin Bass shows. Paul Coker created the Heat Miser and Snow Miser and Frosty the Snowman, and Jack Davis did Mad Monster Party and countless other things for them, too.
All right, so you mentioned Rudolph and you've Frosty the Snowman. What other ones are Rankin Bass?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town one of my favorites. Here Comes Peter Cottontail, The Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that one, too. I wish they would put it back on television, but I guess the religious nature of it, and also Aaron's parents get murdered by desert bandits, and that could be a little touchy subject.
Yeah, maybe.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
But they did The Hobbit. They won a Peabody for that. There's been a lot of nods to those specials in the feature films, and they did a whole bunch of things. The Jackson 5 show, he worked, Arthur worked with Michael Jackson when he
was the Saturday morning version?
The cartoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
They did the Osmonds show. They did a whole bunch of things.
And now, what now, is this claymation? What is it that looks so cool?
It's animagic. It's a form of stop-motion animation with puppets that were made in Japan. And they got the best animators in Japan to work on these films, like Tad Moshinaga and Hiroshi Tabata. The only thing that's done
he pitches for the Yankees now, buddy. He's amazing.
The only thing done today that's near it, I think, is Screen Novelties, who did the Elf special that's going to be on tonight. And they did a SpongeBob Christmas a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one. And then Davy and Goliath, of course, as well.
Well, that's Art Clokey.
Yeah.
Oh, that is.
Yeah. But very similar, the same kind of animation. Rick Goldschmidt is our guest. He's written a couple of books about Rankin-Bass and the magic that they bring every holiday season. The Enchanted World of Rankin-Bass, a portfolio, and then Mad Monster Party, a feature film that they did in the early 60s, I'm guessing. Right, Rick? 65, 66?
Right, 68, actually. Yeah. And then I wrote a book about Rudolph, the making of the whole special, which is back in print now. And actually, tomorrow night, I'm going to be at the McHenry County Historical Society in Union, Illinois. And they have a big Rudolph display. It's like a museum display of Rudolph stuff. And I'm going to be speaking and signing books there.
And you want to go to miserbros, like brothers.com, miserbros.com.
I've never heard Bill say bro ever in my life.
I like to say bro. That's my favorite word. We'll talk more to Rick Goldschmidt in just a little bit.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose.
A-ba-da-da-da.
It's Phil Leff. It's Wendy Snyder.
It's fun to watch Christmas specials with me, Bill.
Sure, I bet it is. How could it not be? Rick Goldschmidt is our guest. He is the archivist for Rankin-Bass, their historian. He's written several books about the magic of Rankin-Bass, including The Enchanted World of Rankin-Bass, a portfolio, Mad Monster Party, and the book about Rudolph is called what, Rick?
The Making of the Rankin-Bass Holiday Classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the longest title I have on a book.
That's fine.
How long have you been at Rankin-Bass's historian? Because it seems like a dream job for anyone our age.
Well, I started it about 25 years ago when I got out of college. Jack Davis and Paul Coker put me in touch with Arthur in Bermuda. And Arthur was like, oh, yeah, you'll write a book. You know, he probably heard that a million times before I called him. And he said, send me two chapters. So I did. And ever since then, it kind of became the historian and worked on the DVDs, the Blu-rays. I even designed some of the figurines for UNESCO in Itasca, Illinois. So it's been a fun experience, that's for sure.
We have a listener who has a question for you. Chris, this is Rick Goldschmidt. We're talking Rankin and Bass and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Thank you for taking my call. Just want to say I'm 40 years old and I don't miss them myself, so you guys are not alone.
Good.
Just a question. Do any of the puppets or the figures from the movie still exist to this day? Like, are they in a museum anywhere or something like that?
Well, Rudolph and Santa were discovered in 2006 by Time and Space Toys and restored by Screen Novelties, who did the Elf special tonight. And we took them around to the Brookfield Zoo, a lot of book signings, conventions like Wizard World and so forth. So a lot of people got to see them, and it was like meeting, you know, a famous movie star, Clint Eastwood or something. People's eyes just lit up, and they took pictures with them and everything. Only a handful of the puppets have survived. Most of them stayed in Japan. That's where all the sets were made, and that's where all the filming was done.
There you go, Chris. Thank you for calling. Do you watch it with your kids?
Yeah, actually, I have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they thought it was kind of cokey at first, but now they calm me down when it's on. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's sweet.
Perfect.
Happy holidays to you, Chris.
You too as well. Thank you.
Rick, the other night as I'm watching this, and I guess I kind of always knew it, but you know, just because of the way we look at bullying now, I didn't really realize, but throughout that entire special, or most of it anyway, everyone is just ripping on Rudolph like crazy, from Santa Claus to the coach. They're just relentless.
Yeah, Romeo Muller wrote the special and wrote all of the big classic Rankin Bass specials, and he really knew how to write for the whole family. And part of the charm of Rudolph is that these characters don't fit in. They're not normal. They have different things about them that doesn't work initially, but they find a way to fit in by the end of the special. Even the bumble becomes a Christmas tree decorator. And that's more satisfying. If you're going to watch something over and over and over again, it's much more satisfying to have that kind of a happy ending where people fit in.
Well, now, I was reading something about it. The original 64 airing of Rudolph didn't have Santa going back to the Island of Misfit Toys to rescue those poor little residents, but that changed, didn't it?
Right, right. And we discovered this year, we found a film print of the original end credits in color that I tried to get on the Blu-ray and DVD, but they weren't exactly listening to me. Yeah, the first airing, they just showed Santa's sleigh fly off, and then an elf throws packages off the sleigh with the credits on them, which I actually like better. The new sequence is the one that you see on CBS where they all jump into the sleigh, and then they're thrown off with umbrellas. And they throw the bird that can only swim off without an umbrella.
Uh-oh.
A lot of people ask me about that. Was that a dark joke?
Splat.
I think it was more like Wizard of Oz, where they really had the power, you know, and he could fly.
And Rick, sometimes it's Hermie the elf, and sometimes it's Herbie the elf. Why is that?
Well, in the scripts, it always was Hermie. H-E-R-M-E-Y.
Yeah.
But one of the voice actors, I think it was the chief elf, or boss elf, they call him, he pronounced it a little bit differently. I don't know
wrong.
If he did it on purpose or misread the script or what.
And I was surprised to see that Kris Kringle had red hair. Having a redhead, it was kind of exciting to go, oh, yeah, redhead, and then it turns white as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and Santa Claus is coming to town. Mickey Rooney was the perfect Santa Claus voice in that one, and the red hair suited that character.
All right, and we had mentioned before we talked to you, Rick, that it was appointment viewing. You would watch it, and despite the fact that it's on DVD and Blu-ray, it still does pretty great in the ratings every time one of these specials is on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why everybody has to watch it on the network, even if you own it, because you think back to the days when it was on only once. A lot of people have lost family members that they used to watch the special with, so it's really become a part of the holiday, just like a Christmas tree and presents, to watch Rudolph and Frosty and all of the Rankin Bass classics.
It's one of the, seriously, it's one of the best parts of Christmas. Every time it's on, sometimes we'll go out of our way to time our wrapping of gifts to those specials so that they're on while we're wrapping it. I love those shows.
It's so important, I think, in that way. It really had a lot of heart to it, too, which is really lacking in entertainment today. You know, everything's so satirical, and Rankin Bass really is so warm and cuddly. It's like the holiday itself, you know?
No doubt about it.
It really is. And Rick Goldschmidt will be appearing at the McHenry County Historical Society. Now, this is tomorrow night for anyone?
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And they have a whole Rudolph display set up, and I'll bring a lot of rare stuff. Arthur Rankin gave me, like, some figures that were carved by the puppet makers for Mad Monster Party that I'm going to bring along.
Oh, I think Bill is going to head out to Union, Illinois, and steal those from you,
yes.
So be careful.
Make sure security is tight.
The Arthur Rankin book for him there.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Rick. Have a great holiday. We really appreciate talking to you.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
You too.
Thank you.
Rick Goldschmidt, you can go to Miser Bros Miserbros.com. It sounded funnier when you said it.
Miserbros.
Right. M-I-S-E-R.
That's the beer I drink.
B-R-O-S.com. Find out all the information. Rankin Bass historian Rick Goldschmidt appearing at the McHenry County Historical Society tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Union, Illinois. Please don't go steal that stuff from him.
Might.
You'll ruin his Christmas.
Well, we'll see what happens.